Rick Emerson Radio. Seriously, if you can't drive and talk on a cell phone at the same time, you ought not to be driving in the first place. I'm going to say that right now, and we all know that this is true. Cell phones don't make you a bad driver. Being a moron makes you a bad driver. If you can't talk to somebody, if you can't talk to somebody on a cell phone and operate a motor vehicle, how can you talk to somebody that you then by law you should never allowed to have a passenger in the next seat? How could you talk to somebody in the passenger seat and not manage to kill yourself on the way to the supermarket? Rick, this email says, it's a no-brainer. The loyal legion of Rick Emerson listeners have done it before. They can do it again. World's largest mountain of coffee cups. Make a mountain of coffee cups stacked up to the entrance of the plushly appointed but not overly ostentatious studios of Solid State Radio. Blah, blah, blah. Think about it. Caffeinated nectar that fuels the show. Dare I say knee-deep in the mocha, writing a new page in the Green Apron book. P1s of Portland. Thank you. Respond once again to the call to action.
Maybe Entercom still has our cups.
I don't think so. I want to know what happened to those, by the way. I hope they at least went to the homeless or whoever it is that needs cups. I guess if you're homeless, you don't need cups because you're probably coffee potless and kitchenless. And really, what are you drinking? Thank you. Hang in there. Pulling the ripcord. Ladies and gentlemen, from the South, the smooth, mellow sounds of CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Hello, Ed.
I always enjoy my politically incorrect friend.
You are a bright ray of southern sunshine in our day, Ed.
How are you on a good Friday afternoon?
Are you still knee deep in geeks?
No, I'm not. I'm actually knee deep in radio gear, finding out what the TSA messed up in my big travel kit.
Oh, did you have to fly somewhere?
No, I'm gonna go. I gotta head out of here. I gotta go to Miami for this NASCAR race.
Oh, that's right, because you don't know anything about NASCAR.
I'm leaving those notes in there where they say they've inspected it.
This is a dumb question. When is the NASCAR thing?
They got that Busch race Saturday, which really doesn't really amount to a lot, but it's going to be on Sunday afternoon.
All right. In fact, Scotty J. I'm talking now to Scotty J. Can you do me a favor? Do you have Dennis Pitzenbarger's number? And in fact, if you don't, Sarah, do you? Do you have? I have it in my phone, but my phone's back at my desk. And Dennis Pitzenbarger, okay, Scotty does have it. Can you get him on the phone, please? Just dial out on another line. Don't hang up on Ed. Make sure you don't hang up on Ed. We need to dial out on another line. Call Dennis Pitzenbarger's
cell
phone.
On the bottom.
Dial out on the bottom bank, Scotty. And
I don't think he can. I think you could only call out on the
really?
Hotline.
No, all right, well, Dennis Pitzenbarger, if you are listening. All right, no, he's got it. All right, he's got it. Yeah, he's going to have that. We're going to...
Scotty is quick.
So, and now Scotty's a machine. He's worth his weight in titanium, my friend. So we'll get a guy here in just a second to give you a quick primer, as they say, in Britain about this. I want to ask real quickly about the Best Buy, because I'm going to start to roop about this again later, because there's like violence breaking out. There's like shootings and muggings and fights. And
yeah, did he tell you about the one in L.A.?
Is that where the guys got mugged?
They had some problems out there, but they had a shooting, believe it or not, in Connecticut today.
And so what, is this the one where the guys were robbed and then a guy went after them with a shotgun or something?
Yeah, it's just amazing. I'm really proud to say I'm from that state after you hear things like that. my birth state. Just amazing. You know, Putnam, Connecticut is where this happened. And, they had a really quiet crew today. I guess they were really an exhausted crew. Because they've been up for... I can't believe people would camp out for 3 days for this. I just can't believe it.
Well, look, and I'm a video game enthusiast. I really am. I'm a video game fan, and I own an Xbox. I don't play it all the time because I got a job. But, when I was unemployed, that Xbox, that's your best friend. And I have to say... the thing, and as people will tell you, the thing about these console systems, which is to say it's not a computer, it's not a PC, it's a standalone box that all it does is play video games. The big selling point of a console system like the Nintendo Wii or the Xbox or whatever is that because it's not a computer, it's going to be a lot cheaper. But, I mean, we're talking like $700, $800, $900. You got to have an HD TV for it.
Right, right. It's $600 to start. You mentioned the price of the games yesterday. I mean, they're not coming cheap.
No. And then, of course, they're coming out. Somebody says on the eBay now that they're going for like $2,500, $3,000. And I know we talked about this yesterday. They always under-manufacture them. So I guess maybe that's just to try to get more media coverage or juices, whatever, so we can have the obligatory. It's like every Christmas or something. Parents are killing each other and cutting off each other's legs for Tickle Me Elmo or whatever the hell.
We already had that. We had fights for Tickle Me Elmo. And the other thing is that Sunday, that Y is coming out.
The Wii.
Wii,
yeah. All right.
Sorry about that.
All right, hold on. It's just, I know that this is gripping radio here, but I'm going to, just 1 second here. 2, 3, 4, 5.
It's Wi-Fi and not Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yes, exactly. This is,
I got it now.
I actually am looking at my phone right now, and I'm going to make sure that we're going to get a guy here. Hold on just a second. We're going to, I'm going to get the number of the guy who real quickly is actually going to give you a primer what you need to know about... Hey, Scotty, here it is. It's this number I've highlighted right there. Off to the right, you see it?
Yep.
Okay. If that goes dead, you just wiggle that thumb wheel on the side. All right. No, it's true. No, because here's the thing. Rick Emerson cares. Rick Emerson cares, and I want to make sure that because there are a couple things that I, as a guy, that I'm supposed to know about, and I always have to talk. We did a sales presentation the other day, and I won't say to who, but there was a client, it was a business, an area business, and they wanted to know, like, who is Rick Emerson? What is this AM 970 radio station all about? And there's always this moment where I sit in the room, and I go, well, look, I don't know anything about sports, and I don't know anything about cars, and I don't hunt, and I watch a lot of Gilmore Girls, and... But I'm old man, you know what I mean? And it's just a long conversation because there's all kinds of stuff that is a guy you're supposed to know about that you don't. And
I feel the same way. You know, I got home from the PlayStation thing this morning, and I put on the Rockford Files. I'm watching, you know, in the old Magnum shows, you know,
right,
and
right.
I got that out, and they've got some woman in the bikini, and I'm thinking she's probably in a nursing home by now.
All right. Well, I'm gonna give another few seconds here, and if we get our guy on, we'll have him come on and give you a quick overview of what you need to know. Because here's the thing, because I don't want to have you I'd feel bad if you were just down there at the NASCAR thing having to having to bluff all the way through.
I think I'll be good because I watch it every once in a while, but I think I'm gonna be good. I've got a pretty good primer there, and I'll tell you what, I hear NASCAR. In fact, they've been very, very cooperative. They're really, really easy to deal with. I hear they really give you good press areas and everything. So you get all your, logistical support that you need, and you'll be in good shape.
All right. Well, it doesn't look like it's coming.
I'm excited about this. I really am.
Well, and you get to go. Where is it? Is it Miami?
Yeah, it's actually in Homestead. I'm not as excited after I did the MapQuest search on where the hotel room is.
Take a gun, my friend. Here we go. All right, okay, so Ed McCarthy, hold on just a second. Is this Dennis? Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend and automotive expert, host of The Fuel Show here on AM 970 Solid State Radio, 9 to 11 Saturdays, beginning tomorrow. Dennis Pitzenbarger. Dennis, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm doing better. You need to do all my promos from now on because the last time I tried to do that, I choked like no other.
Yeah, it's true. You're here with Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent from Atlanta, who will be going down. Now, Ed,
how are you?
I'm doing well, Ed, and you?
Good. I'm going to cover my first NASCAR race, and this is the biggie.
So the
absolutely.
So here's the thing, Dennis, is that Ed, not unlike myself, Ed is perhaps not as savvy as he might ideally be about NASCAR and what the hell he's talking about and what to ask and so forth. So here's the thing, is you give him a quick 1-2 hit, quick bullet points, so he can pass himself off as a guy who knows stuff.
Well, what you want to do is specifically you want to know that this week is the accumulation of the entire season at Homestead. It is Jimmy Johnson's Cup to lose, as in the chase for the cup. And a lot of that, besides that, is a lot of questions about trucks, gun racks, short skirts, and girls with missing teeth.
I think I can handle this. Dennis, I think I'll be fine.
And besides that, you want to make very sure that when talking to a Ford guy, don't say Chevy or Dodge. And then in turn, that would be your same advice for the Dodge and Chevy guys.
How much trouble would I get into if I mentioned Toyota coming in next year?
Well, if the guy has any kind of plaid on, I would bring some Kevlar body gear.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I may need that just for the neighborhood where the hotel is.
Yeah, try to keep a piece of straw between your teeth all the time. It makes you look like one of the common men.
Now, what kind of tobacco should I chew when I get down there? Red Man or... Oh, Levi Garrett.
Just go right for one of those. Right for one of those that pinch between your cheek and gum types. There you go.
No. That's like wearing glasses to first grade. You'll get your butt kicked. I would highly recommend some sort of tobacco product be on you at all times.
Okay.
And I would definitely definitely recommend that you take your, imagine yourself being hit in the head with a brick, and make sure that you're you've taken yourself down to the lowest common denominator when explaining very thought out processes that had to do with NASCAR.
It is Florida. One final question, and we, because it's so long way to go for a really dumb bit.
It really helped me though tremendously, and I appreciate that.
No, here,
I would, despite what Rick says.
No, it's not about you, Ed. It's about me. It's about that, like, we labored for like 10 minutes to get him on, and now we're just making it into an endless comedy bit about plaid and tobacco. So Dennis, when Ed goes down there, what is the one question? What is one question that Ed McCarthy can ask at NASCAR?
Sound intelligent.
That will, no, and not only make you sound intelligent, but where they'll kind of go, oh, well, you know, that's a really good question. A question that not everybody will ask that shows some knowledge of the sport. Not your ordinary run-of-the-mill question.
Okay, what you really want to do to probe into the minds of NASCAR fans is to ask the question whether or not the current structure in the Chase for the Cup, which is the point systems coming up to who is crowned the champion of Nextel Cup, will that current structure be around next year, and how will they change it to make it more exciting?
Gotcha. Excellent question.
So there you go. See, and you ask that, and they're going to go, this is Ed McCarthy. He's the guy who really knows the inside of the game. We've got to bring him back.
And then I'll follow up with the question, how do you open the doors on the cars?
Exactly. ask if they'll slide across the hood Duke style.
Say, are they coming in? You think they're going to have four doors next year?
Yeah, exactly.
I would probably stay away from that one.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Excellent. Ed McCarthy, enjoy your flight, my brother. Hope they don't lose your luggage or anything else.
They usually do, so why should tomorrow be any different?
It's true. Wear a strong antiperspirant. It's not so much the heat.
A million.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Ed McCarthy. There you go. Ed McCarthy in Atlanta. Thank you, Dennis.
Hey, no problem. I was going to give him one last piece of advice, but it's gone now. I was going to say he could shave any number of numerical items in his head, that usually helps you blend into.
Like a big four or something just on the top of his head?
Yes. Probably the worst NASCAR picture I've ever seen was a very large gentleman that had a bit of a body hair problem, and he had shaved a giant three in his back.
Fantastic. Hey, while you're here, we were going to have you come into the studio, but hey, you're already here. So do you want to go ahead and you want to... Because here's the thing. I don't want to say that you choked spectacularly on Tuesday. But
that would be an understatement, though.
It really is true, because now the fuel show, which is a very fine automotive. It's an automatopoeia. See, now that's my karma. That's my karma right there for talking about you choking. Fuel show debuts tomorrow, 9 to 11, right here on this very fine radio station, immediately preceding Tom Likas and the Tasting Room. So you were talking about that on Tuesday, and you were a little over-caffeinated, I think.
Yeah, I didn't take very many deep breaths at all. I just kind of sputtered out sentence fragments and ended up watching Sarah look at me, giving me the choke signal.
Totally. Sarah, so here's Dennis going, and he's a lot of information to get out, and he's sort of amped up, and it was not coming out. It was not my finest day either. I was mangling my words and putting, my sentences were all effed up and whatever. But as and you get about halfway through pimping the fuel show on Tuesday, and you're aware that it's maybe not going all that smoothly. You look over, and Sarah has both hands around her neck and is going, and is like giving you the choke sign.
It was with love.
And then, of course, when I got back to the office, all the account representatives from the fine KUFO and KCMP staff all kind of gave me a salute, like when they do the swords. You know, everybody just kind of gives you the choking salute as I walk past.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. That was Dean Snyder's first week. He's like, yeah, Dennis sounded smooth today. And then just, like, walked into his office. All right, so here you go, brother. And pimp away.
Well, I'm just very excited to come on to KCMD Salt State Radio. The Fuel Show is a kind of a mix between automotive and entertainment worlds mashed into two guys that are just basically car guys. We don't over-talk it, overthink it, or try to talk over people. It's just for the love of all things automotive. I can't think of a better way to start a partnership with this radio station than to bring on one of the greats. Mario Andretti will be with us tomorrow live. We will have a person from NASCAR.com to go over the Chase for the Cup. And again, if you can hook me up with Ed McCarthy in that WAF, I'll definitely have him on anytime. It will be a fun show. It's on from 9 to 11. So if you're hungover a little bit from tonight, just tune it in and we'll just keep the levels down and have a good time.
See, there you go. They're fantastic. God damn it, that was great.
Now I'm going to go drink a Red Bull.
All right, fantastic. There you go. Dennis Pitzenbarger, ladies and gentlemen, here on tomorrow, 9 to 11. And I'll play us into this here. 9 to 11, right here on the Rick Emerson radio program. All right, here's what's going to happen. Take a break. We're going to come back. What is going to happen here? Okay, well, I don't have time to do this thing that I was going to do, but which is amazing to everybody. We're going to do this. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. We probably shouldn't dwell on it today, but I am going to discuss this little world's blankiest blank thing, the largest blank of blank or something. We got to talk about that because I know how the media works, and that's the way that you manipulate the press with that. We'll do that. We will ask your advice on punishing a guy's brother. Later on, Scott Daly will be here. We'll talk about bad movies you can't help watching. And, of course, tonight, Tim Riley and I are going to be emceeing Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, their final performance tour at the Schnitzer. That is tonight, 7 o'clock, et cetera, so on and so forth. All right, so I'm getting all maudlin and bogged down about it. So Sarah and I have, and I'm not going to mention any names, we have a good friend of ours that is, as they say, battling the big C, and I don't mean Cucamonga, and who was in the hospital this week, and I believe is recovering. I think if what we were told is correct, that she... is going to come through in fine style. So I won't mention her name, but it's a colleague of ours, and somebody we once worked with, and apparently she's on the road to recovery. So if you are listening out there, this is for you. You will prevail. You will be victorious. The score will be you 1, cancer 0. So from one true believer to another, here's a little Bruce Springsteen for you. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. Back after this on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. Dun, dun. All right. I'm going to ask Jim Rufus, for no real reason, just to ask him about this Mike Tyson to be a prostitute thing. All right, here's what's coming up. Tim Riley will join us here in just a moment here. We'll do a visit to the Ministry of Truth. We'll find out how to punish a guy's brother later on. Scott Daly is going to be here from FilmFeverRadio.com. We'll talk about bad movies you can't help watching. So we had this brainstorm. It was like during the noon hour. And it was, we had some story about a guy and he had the world's largest ball of something. Twine, bands, clips.
I think it was rubber bands.
All right. And so that's the key to the media manipulation right there. You got to create a huge pile of something. Something that doesn't really go with anything else. And so what do we have this? We have, Rick, you need to create, and so what we figure is that we in the Rick Emerson Show will create a large ball or pile or mass or conglomeration or shove together the pile of something or other. But so it's got to be something strange, and it's got to be a ball or a pile of something that nobody has ever made a ball or pile of before. And then, step two, and then step three, profit. So, how about this? Rick, world's largest tub of frosting. Who wouldn't love that? Everybody could bring personal cake. Everyone could bring personal cakes to the tub and have a lovely time. I think the world is heading in a tasty new direction. Largest pile of garbage. Oh, how about this? Here's a good one. Rick, how about Horns Across the Hawthorne? Do you think that Horns Across the Hawthorne could be a world record for the most devil horns at one time? I see nothing from Guinness about an existing record. You realize they do count the largest gathering of people dressed as gorillas, don't you? Then I think Horns Across the Hawthorne would count. Here's the thing is, I think for that, though, is that somebody has to be present. I think that somebody from the Guinness Book of World Records actually has to be at the event when it happens. I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can do it afterward. I don't think you can do it retrospectively. Anyway, so there you go. So later on, we'll talk about that. About we got to do the largest blank of blank here on the Rick Emerson Show. In the meantime, in between time, here is Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Sir, this is happening here. Americans' approval of President Bush and his handling in Iraq has dropped to the lowest level ever. Latest poll shows only 31% approve of his handling of that. So to make things a little bit better, he has gone to Vietnam and stood and got his picture taken in front of the bust of Ho Chi Minh, the leader of the communists.
That's fantastic. Oh, that's great.
So that should help.
What? Can you imagine? Oh, God. I mean, can you imagine if John Kerry had done this? Can you imagine? And I'm doing Kerry's voice. And my opponent is posing in front of Ho Chi Minh. Do you suppose anybody? Did he? I bet he thinks it's Buddha. I will guarantee. And I have my picture taken in front of the Buddha, who's a great man and a great. His picture taken in front of Ho Chi Minh. God damn, that doesn't make any sense at all. Do they just not care? Do you suppose that Karl Rove, let me ask you this, do you suppose that Karl Rove just knows that it's all shot to hell and they're goners now, and so now he's just going to screw around and have fun? Let's see if I can get him to hop up and down on one foot for a while. George, I need you to hop up and down on one foot with a straw up your nose. Well, all right, I guess I'll do it. I mean, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And here's the best thing about this, when it says the Associated Press poll found that 31% of people approve of Bush's handling of Iraq, here's why that's so glorious and tantalizing. Because it is just, it's teasingly close to the 20s. That's what it is, man. Once he gets down to the 20s, you might as well, in a figurative sense, just take that administration out back, baby. Take it out back and put it down like old Yeller. Figuratively speaking, that is, not physically.
From Clarksville, Tennessee, comes word a museum director has removed an art exhibit featuring several deep-fried American flags. The art student behind the piece, called The Fat Is in the Fire, says it was meant to be a compliment on obesity in America. But the museum's executive director took down the artwork, citing community values. Clarksville is a military town that borders on Fort Campbell, Kentucky. He also said the timing of the piece could cause incendiary reaction.
Replace it with a deep-fried Koran, you'll be fine.
The exhibit features U.S. flags and printed with such phrases as, poor people are obese because they eat poorly. It also has dozens of smaller flags, fried in peanut oil, egg batter, flour, and black pepper.
I don't buy that. That's a thing that they tell me all the time, though. The poor people are fat because they can't afford to eat well, and that seems like a big load to me. That doesn't seem... never mind. I don't want to talk. This is a conversation for another time.
I agree with that.
With what?
With that statement, I think, because a lot of affordable foods that I've come to find out, too, that the things that are cheaper tend to be, more bad for you.
Well, no, that's true. See, now, I would agree with that. I would agree that a lot of bad food is cheap. Like, you can get a box of macaroni for, 75 cents.
It's like, I want to get some fancy thing at Trader Joe's, but I can't afford to spend, $15 a night on, making some fancy pasta noodly dish.
I will totally...
But I can't afford a 99-cent box of macaroni and cheese.
I will totally agree with that there is bad food that is really inexpensive to buy. I mean, you go to, you go to McDonald's, and there's, 79 cents for some crap at the drive-thru. I'll totally cop to that. But it doesn't, I don't know, but for that same 85 cents you can buy yourself, the tuna fish is right over there. Just, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to eat things that are deep fried all the time.
All right. They're not going to be any more fish in 2 years.
No, we're all, it doesn't matter, we're all going to die. Yeah, really, it doesn't matter, we're all going to die of cancer anyway. I have to take this call real quick, this is great. Josh, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. This is a brilliant suggestion, lay it on me, brother.
Hello?
That was brilliant. What's your favorite radio station?
That was genius. All right. Yes, hello there.
Yes, I was just thinking the giant ball of underwear.
See? How brilliant is that? Yes, I promise you brilliance. I give you Josh and the underwear. And they'd have to be clean underwear.
Yeah, we could wash it, of course.
Yes. I mean, there you go. World's largest ball of underwear.
All right. Well, thank you.
Candies. And like that.
But maybe that made his day.
Maybe we, and then we'll tell everybody who asked us about it with a straight face that it's for the children. And we won't explain why. If they ask us why, we'll just go, well, it's obvious, and then we'll walk away. That's a huge ball of underwear for the children. It's genius. All right, now maybe somebody else will top it. I haven't heard anything that beats ball of underwear.
Genius ball of underwear for children. For
that just sounds wrong.
The children.
How about a big ball of scabs?
Okay.
Sorry. Here's Tim Riley. Is that too? Have I gone too far?
That's too much.
Here's Tim Riley.
Anna Nicole Smith lost her appeal, this time with the power company. It has been learned the former Playboy playmate is living in the dark again, and this time there's no light at the end of the tunnel. As first reported earlier this week, Ben Thompson, her former fling who owns the home that she's staying at, turned off the power after Anna Nicole refused to pay for staying there. Anna's lawyers went ballistic, and the power company gave her a reprieve. But Ben meant business, and now the lights are officially out. We're told Anna's still inside the house, and it has worked to her benefit. Get this. The police showed up yesterday to serve her with a second eviction notice and couldn't get in because the electric gate wouldn't open.
Oh, that is hilarious, Tim Riley. I saw again, it was about two or three nights ago, and it was, I think I conjured it, actually, because it was right after I talked about this, that E! True Hollywood, if you ever get a chance to watch an E! True Hollywood story about Anna Nicole Smith, you got to do it, because there's a lot, they interview her Rust Bucket relatives from wherever, like, you know, whatever, Crap Kick, Florida, or whatever it is that she's from. And, boy, they're just fat and dumb and stupid and just bad teeth. And her name, of course, was Vicki Lynn Hogan back in the day. In fact, if you read that, the very first Playboy appearance Anna Nicole Smith made was not as Anna Nicole Smith. The first time she was in Playboy, she was still Vicki Lynn Hogan, which is the trashiest name ever. And she's got that accent. It's like this. And they interview her relatives who have an even thicker accent and an even dumber stare than she does. And they interview this creepy female cousin of hers and she's like a 16-year-old fat little bucktooth girl.
Is it? Oh, a cousin. Okay, because I've talked to her. I've seen her cousin, Debbie, or whatever her name
is. Well, it's the girl that's got a huge picture of Anna Nicole's face tattooed, like, on her stomach.
Oh.
It's genius. It's like, and she's lamenting that Anna Nicole Smith won't come visit them anymore. She's like, And I just wish we could get in my Camaro and just cruise the Tasty Freeze like we used to. And then the camera pans down, and as she's talking, she's got the big jiggling beer gut, and the big picture of Anna Nicole Smith's face is tattooed right on her. It's like 100 different shades of horrible. In a few moments here, we'll talk to our good friend Jim Roop. This is Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
Well, let's read about this poor corpse watch.
Here's a corpse watch for Friday.
I'm digging up bones, I'm digging up bones, you remember, exhuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone, yet at night I'm sitting alone, digging up bones,
A church warden in a small Swedish town faced criminal charges after allegedly having sex with the corpse at a church where he worked. The warden accused of removing a woman's body from her coffin after performing sexual acts on the corpse. According to the prosecutor's charge sheet, he was charged with disturbing the peace of the dead.
Which peace?
The 43-year-old man confessed to police he also had sex with another dead woman. But the second incident is not fully investigated yet.
Well,
he explained his actions by saying he was unable to meet women. He also confessed to charges of drunk driving, 4 counts of theft, and 2 counts of arson. The first of the fires in August 1998 completely destroyed a church.
I have no response to that. And there we go.
I'm digging up bones. I'm digging up bones.
So far and lonely.
Assuming things that's better left alone. I'm resurrecting memories of a love that's dead and gone. I'm sitting alone. Digging up bones.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson. Ow! Oh, wow. Oh, God damn, that was loud. Jesus. Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
But was it accurate?
Jim Roop, hello?
Happy Friday.
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, hello. I'm sorry. It probably sounded normal on your end, but boy, that was loud. That was an exuberant setting of the volume meter here. How's life in Los Angeles, Jim?
Life is wonderful, sir.
Good God, hey, we're trying to... here's another one. We got Noah from Southeast Portland. Rick, biggest underwear... biggest quilt made out of underwear for anal cancer victims.
Hmm.
I don't think he means obsessive compulsive. I think he means like a butt cancer. No, we're not going to do that. We're trying to... here's the thing, Jim. This just came to me in the noon hour. As all great ideas do, it just came and dropped out of the air. Then we had a story about a guy. He had the world's largest ball of rubber bands, and he's getting himself into the book of records because he's got look at all the many rubber bands I have. Hello, and you know, and so now he's going to be, you know, he's going to get his picture taken or whatever. I'm thinking because the media, and I include myself as part of this, because the media is stupid and easily led. What we on the Rick Emerson Show are going to do is we are going to try to get the world's largest blank. Of blank. But it's got to be something interesting, a little off-kilter, something that screams us somehow, and it's never been done before. And then all we're going to do is we're going to say that whatever that is, the world's largest blank of blank, that it's for the children. And then media coverage will follow.
Oh, absolutely.
So we've got this. We got world's largest ball of underwear, world's largest tub of custard, world's largest pile of cigarette butts. Rick, let's see. World's largest pile of empty PBR cans. Yeah, I don't know. Rick, largest pentagram made entirely of paper clips. Rick, largest pile of Mentos. I don't know. There's something. So all we got to do is get a huge pile of a thing that's never been piled before, and then say that it's for the children, and then that's it, man. Then right there, that's you can already hear some nitwit on Fox News reporting it. You know,
Fox would report, you know, a largest pile of toenail clippings. I mean, that's the kind of stuff they would report.
There you go. See, but toenail clippings. I'm not opposed to that.
That's a real, you know, it's strange. I can't think of anything that hasn't been done before.
That's the challenge. Really, that's what it is. That's where the trick comes. Let's just, if you want to hang with us here, we'll get a couple of these, and then we'll talk about Barry Bonds for a second. And then they got you talking about the PlayStation, too, right?
Yeah, I was out there. There was a couple of big fights out here.
Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about right there. That's what anything that just involves violence and just like a guy hitting another guy or maybe somebody wielding
that's
a knife.
Stupidity. It's perfect.
Yeah, it really is true. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi. You know, this is really obvious, and it's really easy to do, and I don't know if it's ever been done before, but shoelaces.
I'm almost certain that's been done.
Have you ever heard of it in the news?
Because that's mentioned for the children.
I like how that's your trump card. Have you seen it on your evening news broadcast, Rick Emerson? No. Well, ha-ha! You know, I
everybody's got a broken shoelace somewhere in the back of their closet, right? You could have all your listeners bring all their broken shoelaces. We could tie them all together. We could have a big, jumping huge shoelace ball. Take it down to Pioneer Courthouse Square and show it off.
And then it's for the children.
No. Even better. It's for the amputee children.
this one's for the quads.
Because they do not have a shoe or a shoelace. And so it's for them.
Yeah, it's kind of fell apart at the end. You started out strong, and now it's
a tearjerker. It's a real tearjerker.
Okay, we're moving along now. Thank you, sir.
Bye.
All right, there you go. See what I have to contend with, Jim Roop?
Hey, but you know what? What was on today, or at least what was in the news today, was somebody made dresses out of condoms.
Really?
Have you seen that?
Is it a social statement of some kind?
No, it is some French designer, and they actually look very nice. He made a wedding dress and a bunch of other things. And you have to get pretty close to realize. I mean, from a far shot, it looks like just a dress with some interesting material. As you get closer, the material gets even more interesting. But they're made out of condoms.
Well, I got to tell you, look, now, because I am a white trash kind of guy, and as I always say, you can take the guy out of the trash, but not vice versa. My grandfather had any number of clothing items that were made out of beer can pull tabs. And that's probably a thing before Sarah's time, but it's like when you pop the top on a beer can.
I remember pull tabs. Yeah.
Yeah, when you pop the top on a beer can or on a can of soda, those used to come right out.
Yeah.
It was like, it's like when you open a can of tuna, you know, or whatever, and the lid comes right off. beer cans or beer. Yeah, you would get a can of beer and you would put your finger through the ring and it would just you'd pull it right out. And they were made illegal because there was immediately billions of them just thrown onto the sides of American highways. They were considered the single biggest littering problem in the country because you'd pull the top off your beer and throw it away.
Yeah, but remember for a while there in the 70s, we were dropping them back inside the can.
That's the other. Totally. I also remember doing. I remember taking them, dropping them back inside the can, like with soda. Or I guess maybe I saw my dad do it. I don't know if I would have been drinking anything that had that. I don't know if I was drinking soda out of cans at that point. But guys would drop them back in and then drunkenly.
They were cutting themselves and choking on those.
But you would go into my grandfather's basement, probably still there, actually. You go into my, he's dead, but I think somebody else in my family has the house now. But you go into my grandfather's basement, and it was like going into a bad, low-budget porn store. You go into my grandfather's basement, and you would have to part the curtains that were made out of thousands of strung-together beer pull tabs. I swear to God, and there was a guy, and his name, and I swear to you this is true, you can look this up in Jane and Michael Stern's Encyclopedia of Pop Culture. There was a guy who legally changed his name. His name is Terp, T-E-R-P. He changed his name to Pop Top Terp, and he published an entire book about items that you could, like household items that could be made out of beer pull tabs. And my grandfather had, this is absolutely true, there are photos of him wearing this, a vest made out of hundreds of beer can pull tabs. Of course, my grandfather also had a woven, like a knit hat, and the crown of the hat was made out of the panels of like Schmidt, cans too.
I've seen those.
So there you go. That's my family for you.
Yeah, well, that was my family too.
All right. Well, what can we do?
We didn't have the pull tab vest, but we had the hat.
You were working up to the pull tab vest.
We were trying.
You were all drinking as much as you could, but you just couldn't get it to come together.
We just continued the pull tabs before we could finish the work.
You got all these. I wonder if across the country there were a bunch of half-done vests.
Oh,
bunch of guys. Ah, oh, God.
So close.
Now I'll never finish my new pull tab shoes. Oh, man. See, that's
the largest ball of pull tabs.
That's a documentary that I'd love to see right there. Just a bunch of crap that people were never able to finish because the government outlawed pull tabs. Real quickly, let's talk about these geeks that are all going crazy. Now, have you heard, and I haven't verified this yet, but apparently, and I'm trying to find it, apparently the video clip is online. Some guys at a website bought a PS3. They made a video of this, and when I find it, I'm going to post it to my website. Our friend Dave is looking for this. Bought a PS3 and then smashed it in front of the line of geeks waiting hours to get one.
Oh, that's beautiful.
They got it, and then they took it, and in front of the geeks, they filmed the whole thing. They bought the PS3, and then they took it. I wish I'd thought of that. And then they just smashed it right in front of all the geeks.
That is so worth doing.
It really is.
That's
fantastic.
That's worth the money, man. I'd finance something like that.
I just wait, but see, I can't do it now because it's been done. I wish I'd thought of it. Genius. Well, what? Tell me, was there any fighting, any killing, stabbing, maiming?
Stabbings, yeah, and several people got robbed.
That's so great. Oh,
I mean, it's easy pickings for a guy with a gun. You walk up to each person, give me your money, give me your money, give me your money. You don't shoot you. Give me your money, give me your money. No, shoot you. So it was great.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean, the people aren't dead, which is why I'm saying they were wounded.
No. Well, that's the difference.
And then you know these guys are waiting in line for 3 or 4 days, and then 2 hours before the store opens up, this whole group of guys goes to the front of the line and starts cutting. And then all hell breaks loose.
You can't cut on a PlayStation. Even I know that. They'll kill you. Yeah, you can't do that.
These guys haven't slept in 3 days. You know, they're all hyped up on, you know, they got the PlayStation Jones, so they're all hyped up because they haven't played in their own house for 3 days because they've been in this line. You cut in front of them and it's like they just go crazy.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to be a lot of... See, and I just love anything like that. Anything that is just social discord. Anything that's just... Anything where just everything just starts to spin wildly out of control. That's what I'm a fan of.
And you got 100 people lined up and the store has 16 of them.
Yeah. Well, that's the other... I was talking to McCarthy about this. I don't understand, and I don't suppose I'm ever going to get an answer, so I'm going to quit asking the question. But
why a limited number was made?
Yeah, because one of two things. Either they're just dumb and never learned the lesson, which you think they would, because the same thing happens every year, or B, you know, because every time a new product comes out, and this store only has 9 of the Tickle Me Elmos, or they're doing it intentionally, but that doesn't make any sense either, because all of this press isn't going to make them any money if people can't buy the thing. So it doesn't seem like there's any upside for them to underproduce.
I agree. I don't know. I can't answer that question. But each store had anywhere between 16 and 20 of these things.
It's all very confusing.
And, you got 75 to 100 people online, it's going to be a problem.
It's true. All right. Well, let's talk about Barry Bonds for a second before I inevitably turn the conversation to O.J. Barry Bonds' personal trainer must return to prison for refusing to testify before a grand jury.
Yeah.
Investigating before. So is that where they bring him in front? He does the G. Gordon Liddy where they're like, you must testify, and he's all, I ain't going to do it. And then they send him back.
But he already said that, so now he has to report to prison by November 20th. They're giving him, all the while he's in jail, he can decide to talk. But he could be in jail up to a year before they bring him back out, because when a new grand jury is in panel, because every year they change the grand jury, he'll get out for a minute and then step in front of this new grand jury and still refuse to
testify. Is there any length of time and how long this particular game can go on?
I don't think so. I've never heard of a statute of limitation on this, because each time a new grand jury is impaneled, they can bring up the case again, and he's still a principal in the case. Unless he dies, and he doesn't have to do it again.
Fantastic. I mean, and you know that, as we've speculated, this, of course, is a big pile of cash waiting for him somewhere. I mean, there has to be. I mean, loyalty is loyalty, and I appreciate a guy who mans up and, you know, just takes the bullet for somebody, but you got to know that there's going to be the big bag of loot waiting for him.
Yeah,
so.
There's something. Something is definitely, dangling in front of him from Barry Bonds for this to be happening. And, Bonds is talking.
Did you really just say something is dangling dangling in front of him from Barry Bonds?
You know, as in a carrot.
Really?
In a carrot in front of him.
Is that what the kids call it now?
That's exactly what they call it.
Hello, I am 12. All right, well, because
my favorite, man, I swear.
Because you are in Los Angeles, it's a legal obligation. I now have to ask you about O.J. Simpson every day.
Yeah.
And so Judith Regan was interviewed. I read her whole statement where she claims she doesn't even call him O.J. She calls him the killer.
Yeah.
And she says she considers it his confession. She claims two things. A, she thought the money was going to his kids. And B, that she is... Now, correct me if I'm wrong on this. She is publishing the book and doing the interview to atone for something or other, because she was a domestic violence thing. And
it's payback. It's not atonement. It's payback.
Payback, and a guy hit her, and so she's publishing O.J.'s book.
Yeah.
And something, please to be explaining, I don't understand.
I don't understand that either.
Okay.
and she's not a stupid person, so she has to know that paying a third party is the way O.J. Simpson wanted it, so that he wouldn't have to pay the Goldman.
Right.
He made the money. That's something that the courts can attach.
Wait, so now...
They can't touch his NFL pension.
So this isn't the thing where he's just going to spend the money as soon as he gets it. This is where the money's not even going to him?
Not directly.
Oh, see, I didn't know that.
It's being laundered.
See, until this moment, I didn't know that. I thought he was just sticking to his plan of, I'll get the money and then I'll blow it out before they can take it from me.
No, from what we know, the money was paid to a third party. And it was supposed to go to his kids. But I can guarantee you it's not.
Yeah. No. That's, no. In a weird way, I mean, it's just so perverse and it's so evil, but you almost have to admire a guy. And again, he's a horrible person, blah, 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 blah. But I mean, in a perverse, awful way, I haven't.
Genius.
Well, again, I have an admiration in a strange, dark way for people who can find the cracks in the system that way. You know what I mean? It's because that's what keeps life interesting for the rest of us. Because otherwise, I'd just be here talking about whatever. You know, the best thing to feed your pet emu. You know,
yeah,
that's a road to nowhere. So, well, it's gonna be. I mean, and look, and we got a whole. What is today? Today's the 15th, 19th. So we got 2 weeks of talking about this.
17th. We got 10 more days before the first one airs.
And everybody is going right at, well, we're urging Americans not to watch this program. But, of course, I mean,
the more you talk about it, the more they're going to watch it.
So, I mean, they're saying it could be bigger than the Martin Bashir-Michael Jackson thing, which I think it will be.
I do, too.
Because am I correct in saying that this has never... nothing like this has ever, ever, ever happened before, has it? Where a guy confessing on camera to something that that they cannot nail him for.
Yeah, no way this has ever happened before.
Is it true? Well, you know what? Never mind. I'll save these other questions for another day. Otherwise, because I got to talk to this guy. Let's send you out with a smile on your face. Hold on. We'll get one more here. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with myself and Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
Yeah, Rick. Before I give you my suggestion, can I give you a real quick piece of trivia about what replaced the pull tab?
Okay.
Do you remember what it was?
Well, I don't know. There's just that thing that stays attached now.
No. Wrong answer. It was the two push buttons, and people started suing the companies because they shoved their fingers down in there and got them caught when they were drunk.
Okay.
Anyway, my suggestion is biggest ball of nose hairs.
See, there you go, Jim Roop. Those are my people. Biggest ball of nose hairs.
Thanks, Rick.
Thank you, Mike. There you go.
The phrase that pays.
That's what I'm talking. Those are my P1s, my friend. All right, there you go. Jim Roop. See right there. Just put you out with a smile on your face.
You're a good man.
All right, enjoy your weekend, Jim Roop.
Thank you, Rick.
There you go. Los Angeles correspondent Jim Roop right there. See you then. Fantastic. All right. 503-733-2970. We'll get back. We got more of your phone calls. Scott Daly coming up around the corner. We're going to talk about bad movies you can't help but watch. Tim Riley from the Ministry of Truth. Like us at 3, Don and Mike at 7. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Swagger, swagger, boom, boom. Swagger, boom, boom, boom. Swagger, swagger, boom, boom.